Think about some of your favorite places to climb or hike or otherwise enjoy the outdoors. Now think about what it might be like to visit those places in a wheelchair. You just would not be able to take part in some of the outdoor activities that currently appeal to you. Overcoming the obstacles is the point of the organization Access Adventure, based in the Bay Area. Its founder is Michael Muir. He's the founder and executive director. He and Access Adventure will be part of the National Park Centennial Celebration held in Oreck next Sunday by Redwood National Park. Michael Muir, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Your great-grandfather was John Muir himself, is that right?
That's correct.
Hmm. All right, so you come from a pretty long line of, I guess, was there another business within the family other than championing the outdoors?
Well, I think my family has done all kinds of things, and it's a big family, the descendants of John Muir, but all of us have been inspired by him, and we're all lovers of the outdoors, and I've been camping with my family since I was a little boy, so that's part of my heritage for sure.
Talk about the genesis of Access Adventure. What led you to form it?
Well, I've been a horseman since I was 12 years old. I started breeding horses then. I'd been camping with my family, packing into the High Sierras even before then. But what makes me different than the typical horseman is I've lived with multiple sclerosis since I was 15 years old. I was pretty profoundly affected at that time, and the thing that inspired me to get out of my hospital bed and get back on my feet was to get back to my stable and to be able to work with my horses, which became my life's work. And over the course of my life, the increasing degree of disability that I developed due to multiple sclerosis, I found that my horses became my working partners in compensating for my lost function, and it became something that I wanted to share with others. So over time, I've met people that helped me to develop wheelchair-accessible horse-drawn carriages and really discover ways that we can partner with the horses that we love to take us places that we can't get under our own power.
And notice there's a term for this that indicates that partnership that goes beyond just, hey, horse, take me here. Therapeutic driving, it's called. Tell us about that.
Yes. I learned about an organization called United States Driving for the Disabled that was seeking Americans to compete in the first world championship for drivers with disabilities that was held in Germany in 1998. And I was invited to compete, and I did make the team. I eventually became the next president of that organization, and my goal became to try to spread this work all across the country. So when I retired from the national organization and came back to California where I grew up, I started a regional program with the Solano Land Trust in Solano County where I was born, to develop a model of how to do this in other places. And we formed an all-volunteer program with a wheelchair-accessible carriage, a partnership with the Land Trust to provide the property to work on. And we've been going now for 11 years, and now we stage about 150 events a year. We serve hundreds and hundreds of people.
Were there wheelchair-accessible carriages over the years, but generally custom-made? I mean, is there a design now that seems to work for a lot of different situations?
I work with an interesting Quaker couple. They're in their 80s. They live in Wabash, Indiana, and they were actually classmates of the man who became the actor, James Dean. They're pony breeders, and they saw some clumsy wheelchair-accessible carts, and he was a man that was clever with his farm shop and thought that he could do better. And he designed a really innovative, solar-powered, battery-operated wheelchair lift that can lift even 500 pounds or more, like a heavy power chair and a profoundly disabled person aboard a carriage. And we have worked with them for years now, and all of our vehicles have these kinds of wheelchair lifts on them.
Michael Muir is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, founder and executive director of Access Adventure, which is about providing access to the great outdoors for people with disabilities like himself. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. By phone, email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like a lot of the activities of Access Adventure are based around the Rush Ranch in Solano County.
Yes, it's 2,070 acres of preserved open space. It's an old historic horse farm. When I discovered it, when I came back to Solano County, I went before the board of the land trust, and they were very open to the idea of expanding the accessibility of the property to everyone. And they were generous in providing that property as a home base for us, and we've been there ever since. We've expanded into the Napa Valley. We go to the Veterans Home at Yountville every month. There's over 1,000 residents there, many with a significant degree of disability. And we take them out and driving around. And we do events all around the Bay Area. And we travel pretty far. As far as the North Coast, we'll be coming up there this week. We go up to Modoc and even over into Nevada and as far south as Monterey County. We've even taken some trips as far down as San Diego, where we launched a cross-country trip the winter of 2014 and 15. We actually drove our horses from San Diego all the way to Florida.
Wow. Not all at once, obviously. How long did that take?
That trip took 5 months, and it was my fourth long-distance journey. I've driven from San Diego to the White House in 2001. We drove across Northern Europe in wheelchair-accessible carriages in 2002, across France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and into Germany. And in 2003, I followed the first great wilderness adventure of my great-grandfather when he did what he called the 1,000-mile walk to the Gulf, from Louisville, Kentucky to Cedar Key in Florida. And I drove that in a wheelchair-accessible carriage with my friend Cindy Goff, she in her wheelchair, and our two dogs, and our horse Domino, and we drove that 1,000 miles in 87 days.
Do you find, though, Michael, as you've traveled, that the idea of providing access for people with disabilities is a bit of an afterthought for a lot of outdoor activities?
Well, it is, and it's one reason why I'm delighted to be invited to go to OREC, where they're going to be very conscious of the accessibility of the area. They're going to expand there. And really, with a little bit of foresight, people can make it possible for all of us to visit the outdoors. And with innovative trail design and make sure that the parking is correct, the access to the trailhead is correct, we can get more people out into nature, into the healing power of nature.
Let's talk about that healing power of nature. I mean, how profound have you seen some of the changes in the people you've worked with through Access Adventure?
Well, you know, I first realized that it was important for myself, and I know personally that there's no way I'd be as strong as I am today. I'm 64 years old. I've lived with multiple sclerosis for almost 50 years now, and I'm still able to get up out of my chair. I'm still active. I enjoy life, and a big part of it has been staying active and staying a part of the natural world. And because it's helped me so much, it really has inspired me to want to share this with other people.
Let's talk too about what the laws are and the accommodations that have to be made. I mean, there is the Americans with Disabilities Act, but I'm guessing it probably doesn't apply to a lot of outdoor facilities.
It doesn't apply to the wilderness. You know, there's still rules against wheeled vehicles. You know, certainly no motorized vehicles. You can go horseback, but for some people riding, disabled people, riding is not an option, which is why we've really focused on developing, getting people aboard the carriages and the wagons that we're going to be bringing up and demonstrating in OREC. It is, you know, the farther afield you get, the less it seems the rules apply. But certainly if there's consciousness of restroom access and parking access and trailhead access, and consider the kind of footing on the trail that is appropriate for a wheelchair, maybe benches where people can watch and see birding, or even to take a rest to get out to a viewpoint or a vista point. These are really small accommodations to make that can be really significant ways to help people access the natural world.
Michael Muir is the founder and executive director of Access Adventure, trying to help people have horse outings in nature, people with disabilities. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange for the minutes we have left with Michael at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We sort of talked around the edges a few times of this celebration coming up. It's Sunday, noon to 5. For the Redwood National Park at the junction of 101 and Bald Hills Road in Oreck. What kinds of things have been done? You mentioned that that they've been keeping the access for people with disabilities in mind there.
They are, and that's something that we've talked about. I've never been to the Oreck site, so I'm really excited to see what they have planned. And, of course, it is the 100th anniversary of the National Park System, and I think my invitation was based on my relationship to John Muir, who is considered by some to be the father of our national park system. I know he had a big influence on President Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, taking him camping, escaping the Secret Service, and going out on their own into the wilderness of Yosemite. And John Muir had an opportunity to talk to President Roosevelt at length about the idea of preserving these special places for all time. And Teddy Roosevelt gets a lot of credit for how hard he worked to make that happen.
Indeed he does. Let's talk about the access on public lands. I mean, we talked about the general idea of trails and other places and issues with just getting wheelchairs onto them. You require a little more space for what you're trying to do with the horse-drawn wagons.
That's correct.
So give us an idea of what kinds of trails you need.
Well, you know, we spend a lot of time seeking out the best places to go, and you know, there's still a lot of them. We're lucky to live in the West and to live in California, and it's a beautiful big state, and there are a lot of places that we can travel. We go every year to Fort Hunter Liggett, which is the old ranch headquarters of William Randolph Hearst that he sold to the Army, and it's adjacent to the Los Padres National Forest. It's also home to the Mission San Antonio, which is the only one of the California missions that's still in its natural setting, not with a city built up around it. And we use that as a base and travel there in the spring, went on a trip we call the Wildflower Wingding, because the wildflower show is so beautiful there every year.
The vehicles that you use, the wagons provided by Thornley carriages, I guess built by Jerry and Barbara Garner, I see.
Yes.
A couple you mentioned from Indiana. How many wheelchairs can you fit in each of those wagons?
Well, we've developed, they started out as just really pony carts, you know, with a single wheelchair. And over the years, I work with bigger horses, and I drive multiples of horses, up to four in hand. So we've built even covered wagons that can haul 12 people. We're going to bring a trolley to Oreck that also can handle 12 passengers, up to 5 wheelchairs at a time.
It's quite a production then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty clever and innovative design. And yet it's simple, it's easy to maintain. The wagon I'm bringing up, we've been using for 10 years now, and it's a real war horse, a workhorse in our program.
Talk about the economics of Access Adventure, how this works. I mean, do people pay you for the service? Do you get grants or what?
That's a very good question. We've never had a paid employee in 11 years. We're all volunteers, and we don't charge for what we do. So our business model is kind of unusual, and it's a little hard to maintain, but people do support us. We write grants, and we get small donations as well, and we work on a shoestring. We have 50 hardworking volunteers that make this happen, and a lot of people to support the work that we do so that we can provide these services for free for people who need them.
If suddenly the floodgates opened and you had a whole lot more money than you have now, what would you do that you're not currently doing?
We're working on spreading this all over the place. I'm establishing a program like ours in Yuma, Arizona. We've helped launch one nearby in Elk Grove called Wagons for Warriors, helping provide them with equipment. We've been invited to go to Idaho and help launch a program there. And we've been in discussions with people in Texas and other places as well. So that's my dream during the course of my life, to have this thing that has been so much fun for us and brought joy to so many people, to see that happen in other places as well.
Michael, about how many people have been able to have the joy that you talk about through Access Adventure?
Well, we're just beginning to really track the numbers hard. And, you know, sometimes we have events with literally hundreds of people on a single day, you know, on our bigger events. But with 100 events a year, 150 events a year, we're probably reaching over 1,000 people on average each year.
Huh. It sounds like you'll have quite a collection of horses and people and wagons and stuff up at Oreck on Sunday.
Well, we have 50 volunteers. Not everybody's coming up to Oreck. It's a pretty long haul for us. But, boy, are we looking forward to getting out of the heat here in the valley and getting up to the Redwoods.
Oh, I can imagine. Okay, the celebration will be Sunday, June 26th, 12 noon to 5. This is a Redwood National Park celebration of the centennial of the National Park System. It'll be at 101 and Bald Hills Road in Oreck, California. And, of course, Michael Muir, the founder and executive director of Access Adventure, will be there. Michael, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us today in The Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey. I appreciate it.